Is your website purdy?
Mind your business.
Does it work right?
Mind your business.
Can people find it?
Mind your business.
If you answered no or kinda to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast, presented to you and for you by the minds at Mind Development and Design. We're here to empower you with knowledge so you can get the most out of your website and have more of an idea of what you should realistically be expecting from your website. We're talking this week about form and function for your website in 2015. To quote the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix, are you experienced? What is your end user's experience on your website? And what should you be doing to make it better? It's an ongoing process. It's not something you just stick it up there and leave it, because from year to year, everything changes. One thing I think we lose track of in our longing and our wanting to rank as high as possible in the SERPs, because you know that's mostly what I deal with on my end, it's the fact that the internet as a competitive market is between 10 and 14 years old, which is exceedingly young in the grand scheme of things. It's just that internet marketing has evolved and moved faster than any method before it, because information passes between us faster than ever before. So the internet market is incredibly competitive, and today we're going to talk about one of those afterthoughts in the grand scheme of marketing, your actual website. Yes, the search engine algorithms are factoring in, as they should, more than words. User experience is a growing factor, as it should be. And today I've roped in Mind lead developer David Zimmerman and lead designer Chad McComsey to talk about the all-important factor of your website being that proverbial pot of gold at the end of the search engine rainbow. And I know that's kind of reaching there a little bit, but it truly is what it should be. Once people find you, they need to like what they find. Would that be talk about an open-ended question? Would that be a fair assessment, gentlemen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for taking the time to talk on this week's podcast. And we're gonna talk with Chad and Zim about three main areas here, and that's readability, navigation, and overall user experience, kind of an amalgamation of your efforts. So let's start with readability. What does this mean, Chad and Zim, from the development and design standpoint? It's easy for the layman, you know, for me, I'm Joe business owner and I want a website built. But when I talk about readability, what does that mean from a development and a design standpoint? Because there's always more to it than there appears to be on the surface. A lot of effort goes into it. So what should people be thinking about with regard to their website readability beyond the mere obvious?
Well, you brought up, you know, the beyond the mere obvious, but you know, the mere obvious is, you know, it's the, you know, most glaring, most blatant example of where your readability is most important. We can talk about, you know, exceedingly long pages of content with no breaks and no images and just blah, you know, and who wants to read that? That kind of stuff is pretty obvious. Design wise, you know, when you're looking at readability and reasons to make sure that your content is readable, it goes a long way to, you know, essentially to harness, you know, user interest and kind of keep their attention and keep them reading. Instead of these, like I said, these, you know, these long ongoing paragraphs of content, we want to try to have like some snappy, well-written headlines, something that's like, you know, gets the attention, proves a point, leaves them, keeps them going. Essentially, you know, your subheadings after your main headings, something that, you know, continues the content. But that's more or less on the side of, you know, a user, someone coming in and actually being able to physically reading the content. You know, you also have to be able to, you also want to make sure that it's readable in the way that, you know, it's spaced properly, specifically, you know, for the typography. Your leading and your kerning is very important, because, you know, you're typically, if you're just out there and you're doing basic CSS, basic HTML, you know, a lot of the default weights are already there. The default widths are there. You don't really have to worry about it that much, but sometimes people try to get a little bit more creative with their content, and that can be very good. It can be very useful, but it can also lead to problems. If you're kerning, your letter spacing is too close, you know, it becomes a little bit unreadable. Arial, for example, Arial Bold, I like doing this because Arial Regular has a pretty solid weight and width. The kerning's pretty good. You can use it on its own and it's good to go. If you bold it, it looks a little bit awkward. It looks like it has a little bit, in my opinion, it looks like it has a little bit too much space between the letters. Ah. So I like to bold it. I like to put it in lowercase and close the kerning up a little bit so that the space between the characters is a little bit closer, a little bit tighter. It gives it a little bit more rounder approach to what is a nice round font, but it gives it a different look. And I find those, you know, being able to do those things with your, you know, with your typography certainly help, certainly go a long way to to keep it a little bit spicy, you know what I mean, a little different, get some user interest in there. That leads into raw line spacing as well. The other part of that, you know, you take care of, you know, there's a kerning example, your leading example, the difference between your baselines. If it's really, really close together, your users are going to have a horrible time trying to read it, especially if it's on the screen. So you want to have a nice amount of space in between the lines so that the lines are just as readable as, you know, the words are. So users can keep their place, realize that somebody's going to be on a mobile phone or a tablet, and if they're really close together or really far apart, that's going to affect the way that they read their content. That's also going to affect the way that they feel about your site, like whether you like it or not. If mm-hmm. I have a horrible time reading your content, I'm going to think that you're a jerk, and I'm not going to like your site. You know, it's eventually going to get there. You know, it's like, well, they have a great point, but open their space, letting, turning, type. You know, learn typography, something. Help me read. And for God's sake, don't put, you know, a light colored font over, you know, a light colored image. And, you know, be aware of, you know, when you're getting creative, especially in headers and little call out graphics.
But I like white text on a cloudy background.
Well, we said readability. We didn't say good readability.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose. I mean, it has its place. It never.
Well, you don't want to make it too easy for people, you know.
Right. Well. Yeah. I mean, oh, good Lord, Mark. You catch my drift there. It's
yeah, absolutely.
It makes no sense. It's I want to be able to read my content. So, you know, don't be too overly crazy with the background graphics and the textures and the ridiculousness that, you know, that goes along with, you know, some more modern web design trends.
Hey, can you rock some of that scrolling flashing text?
Blink tags?
Blink tags, baby. Okay, so, you know, all kidding aside, with all this about fonts and some of the stuff that is, you know, to the end user, we're just looking aesthetically. What does that mean to you on the development side, Zim, as far as how does that affect the work that you do? It's easy for any of us to just look and think, okay, you just stick this picture here, this font here, and all that, which of course design is way, way more than that. But then there is the coding that goes behind it. And all this stuff that I really have no business even getting into, that's your department. What does it mean to you?
Well, in terms of aesthetics, I think it's basically just proper implementation. So if, you know, if we get a design mock-up and it calls for 16-point Arial font bold, whatever. So usually designers will give us something, and it's not always necessarily a direct one-to-one kind of implementation where we can take the settings that they've used in Photoshop or Illustrator or whatever it is that they were using to design. We have to translate that into its web equivalent and doing that correctly so that a 16-point font doesn't come over and get specified as 16 pixels. Sometimes you have to just gauge it based on best practices, based on the understanding that things are going to look a little bit different depending on the device that people are using to read the content. So, for example, a line, you know, a paragraph of text on the desktop computer versus a paragraph of text on a smartphone mm-hmm. is obviously there's going to be a big difference between the way that is presented. The paragraph on a desktop computer is going to be wider, So you're probably going to want a little bit more line height between lines versus when you read it on a smartphone or another mobile device, it's going to kind of be compressed. It's going to be shorter lines. The type is going to appear smaller. So maybe in some cases you might be okay with letting that line height down a little bit. That kind of ties into just responsive design in general. For me, really, though, it's less about the aesthetics and more about the semantics, more about the structure. And so if we get something and if certain content looks like a heading, making sure that it's defined as a heading, making sure paragraph text is paragraph text, or unordered lists, navigations are navs. There's a proper semantic element to use in most cases. And if there's not, then stuff it in a div or a span, whatever you need to do. But just being aware of that and thinking of the page in terms of the meaning of the content, not just the aesthetics of it. Because if you can very easily go and take a design and just put it in a page and make the font bolder, make it a specific font face, make it, you know, do whatever you want to do with it style-wise, but it doesn't necessarily indicate that it's actually a heading. It just looks bigger. So you have to make sure that you use the proper elements that define what it is, not just how it looks.
Now, when you're putting a website together, the navigation, obviously, at some point and I've got to think, Chad, that this is part of the actual design of the website. It's the beginnings of the menu. What is the navigation going to look like? What are the trials and tribulations of what you have to deal with on a dev and design side? And what should people really be paying attention to going into 2015?
It really just boils down to making it easy to use, making it when you design a navigation or when you design a site, when you're putting these things together, the navigation is there to, it's supposed to be a logical progression through your page content. So, you know, you want your nav to, you know, obviously point out those important areas or those focus areas of your site. But a lot of time what we run into is there's not a logical progression. It's just okay, here's my site. Here's stuff that I do. Here, contact me. You know, it's very, very, I guess, utilitarian. Very like just like cut and dry. Like there's no middle ground there. There's nothing connecting. Nothing bringing the site, you know, together full circle. So you want to have a logical progression, and having a solid, easy to use, easy to understand navigation is key.
It seems like a big challenge would be, though, to narrow things down for the main. I mean, would this be fair to say to narrow things down for the main page where you have like maybe five or six selections and then there's drop downs under each one of those selections? Because I see a lot of sites where it's like they try to cram every possible choice on their main page, and it makes it almost impossible to make a choice.
Right, right. And you know, it gets overwhelming. You know, I mean, as a user coming to something like that, you know, where do I start? Ooh, look at all this. you know, doing something simple like a drop down, you know, it works wonders for, you know, at least for starting those first levels of, you know, building your page hierarchy. And not only is it easy to build, easy to use, but it's like it's appealing to a user's eye as well. So you're really organizing your content. You're having a main section and you're having some subsections. You might have some subsections. It may get deeper depending on what your site is about, what your business is. You know, there's a ton of different variables that play into it. But, you know, realistically, you know, a couple levels deep is the standard. You know, you're talking about, you know, some child pages, some grandchild pages here and there. But, you know, ultimately being able to have that information at your user's fingertips, having it in a place that is visually easy to find and is functionally easy to find on your site is very important. And there's also other fun things we can do with, you know, navigation, like breadcrumbs, for instance. They're not only nice visual aid for users so they know where they're at in your page hierarchy and where they are at, you know, in the structure, but they also have they're also good for the overall optimization of your page.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, so
and they're like a visualization of that natural progression you were talking about, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see a lot of it in sitemaps. You know, of course, you know, sitemaps have their obvious optimization value, but a solid sitemap should also show you that breakdown in almost like the, you know, the hierarchy format. If you go to a page and their sitemap is all, everything's based off the initial domain, like all their pages, all their posts, everything. There's no organization there. It's just it's a blob of pages in the back end that have no real organization, no real rhyme nor reason. So that, I'd say in the very, very small term, could have an effect on you, but certainly it doesn't help your users when they're trying to find something on your page.
You're listening to the Mind Your Business podcast with Mark Boyd. I'm David Atwood, and Mind Development and Design pays me to say nice things about them. We'll be right back after these messages.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services. They've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
If you have a question you want answered on a future podcast, visit MindDND.com/podcast and click on the Podcast Questions Ask Now button. We love your questions. Keep them coming.
Welcome back to the Mind Your Business podcast. We're talking to Mind's own Chad McComsey, lead designer, and David Zimmerman, lead developer, on factors you really need to be keyed in on your website going into 2015, as the search engines are factoring in overall user experience more and more, engagement and user experience into the algorithm. And there are certain areas that it's important to shore up on. Chad just was weighing in on the design perspective with regard to your on-site navigation. Zim, what about on the dev end when you're dealing with the navigation on the website? What are some of the problems you run into that our listeners should be aware of when they're working on their own website?
Kind of echoing some of the stuff that Chad said about easy to use, the navigation usually helps kind of represent the hierarchy of the site. Obviously, hierarchy is not as important. If your page if your site has five pages, you probably don't have a lot to worry about in terms of navigation. But if you have 500 pages, you probably want to make sure that your navigation is organized. Make sure that it represents the hierarchy of your content. Make sure that it's so that things are easy to find. That's the fundamentally what's important. In terms of actually implementing this kind of stuff, I'd say accessibility is probably something that a lot of people don't necessarily put a lot of thought into. They see it on their computer. If you have a drop down menu, they put their mouse over it and go, ooh, there's the rest of the content, I can get to it easy. But they don't think about it in terms of how is that going to work if someone's looking at it on a touch device. If it's a lot of devices these days will emulate the hover when you tap, so you can still have that interaction, but not all of them do. Make sure you have a fallback. Not only that, but we haven't even touched on true accessibility in terms of making things work for people who maybe they're using a screen reader and so they don't even see your drop-down menus. Make sure that your navigation is actually set up correctly so that people with accessibility devices can still use your site. Screen readers is the easiest example, and that basically just comes down to, you know, marking it up correctly. Little things like most sites have the navigation in the header of every single page of the site. So have a skip to content link so that somebody using a screen reader, somebody going through your content, doesn't have to listen to the navigation first on every single page. Have a link in there that skips to the content so they can jump right to, you know, the important part of the page. And then in terms of managing your site's navigation, assuming that you've had a site built within the last, you know, 5 years, you're probably on a content management system. So I'm assuming your content is going to change. The services that you offer might change. The products that your company has might change. You need to be able to update your navigation. So that's something else to consider, is how do you make changes to your navigation in your site, building it in a way that is easy to manage. WordPress does a great job because it got the little drag and drop custom nav menu interface. Or in some cases, you might need a menu that gets dynamically generated based on other things in your site, just kind of being aware of those things and handling them appropriately.
Okay, so we've talked about readability. We've talked about navigation. And wrapping all of it up together, like the dude's rug, overall user experience, because that's what it is in the end, is that's what we're working toward, your overall user experience. Google and all the search engines are factoring this in. They're factoring in social engagement. They're factoring in whether your website shows up properly on mobile devices, overall user experience and engagement and all this, and readability and navigation all plays into that. But Chad, Zim, to wrap everything up, overall user experience, you guys have worked together for years. Dev and design work together in any company that's building websites. You got to be on the same page and you got to work together. What would you like to add to this week's conversation in terms of people getting to the end of 2014, looking at 2015, trying to make it a better year for their business, a better year for their website? For overall user experience, what would you say are the top two or three pointers that they should be looking at?
I'd say above all, stop worrying about all this other crap and just build good sites for your users. Don't get me wrong, you have to be aware of everything else going on, but stop basing your decisions on, if I do it this way, I can get another ad in here. If I do it this way, we can increase our keyword density. if I do it this way, whatever. No, just build something that's valuable to your users. Build something that people are going to want to use. They're going to want to go to your website.
People get mired in details and they forget common sense. Do you think that would be fair to say?
Yeah.
Just make it to where people come to your website and they can get around and they can do what they need to do. And it should be simple.
Exactly. I think Chad and I have probably both said a few times to people, do you want us to build a website for you, or do you want us to build a website for your potential future customers? And when you put it that way, a lot of people go, oh, well, yeah, that's true. I want a big, bright yellow thing over here, but most people are probably going to find that kind of tacky. So maybe we'll stuff that into one of the little back about us pages that's a little funner, but we don't need it front and center on the home page. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway, is just think about it in terms of the people that you want to use your site, not just in terms of what you want to see. Make your site valuable. Make your site easy to use for end users. Make your site easy for the people who run the site to manage. 9 times out of 10, it's a non-technical person that has to make updates to the site that affect technical things. So build it in a way that you limit their ability to break it, but give them as much ability to control the content as they need. In terms of navigation, breadcrumbs, calls to action, persistent buttons, identify things that are important, what needs to be constantly available for the user, maybe a quick menu link that they can jump to, but not, you don't need buy our product front and center on every single page of your site. As much as you want that, as much as you want everybody to go buy your product, that might not be necessarily what everyone's going to your site to do. They're probably going to do a little bit of research, find out about that product, find out about you, find out what makes your product better than the next company's product. So give the people what they want and they'll naturally come to that decision on their own. Quit trying to shove what you want down their throat.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate this, and I love it because I wind up getting a lot out of it too. So if I'm getting something out of it, I know our listeners are going to get a lot out of it. Thanks a lot.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.